So I love this series, Church as a Family. So much to share, and God's going to bring out, I believe, what he wants me to share today. We just rely so much on the Revelator, the Holy Spirit, that he bring wisdom and revelation. But not only that, release a grace that we can actually, an enabling grace for us to do family in an even greater way. You know, I celebrate this family. You know, I think we do family really well. You know, many can have an articulation of what family looks like or the church being a family. But I believe we bring an expression of the family. And that's a grace that God poured into this church. It's an enabler that we founded the church on. When the Lord gave me the name for the church, I thought it was a name for another church that I was going to serve here. And when I found out where they were, we were going to go and serve at that church. But God specifically gave me the name Liberty Family Church. And he said, Kim, one of the greatest strengths of this church will be family. And I believe that there's a grace to do family well. Amen? An enabling grace of God. It's by his Spirit. Because heaven's doing family really well right now. Amen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are doing family really, really well. And God wants family, our earthly family, our church family with what we are talking about. He wants us to be a mirror image of the amazing family that's in heaven right now. Amen? I remember meeting, Tim and I met a couple years ago. Well, they're friends of ours, and they were planting a church in Austin. And they were about to embark on that. And we were having coffee together. And they said to me, they asked me if I could give them one key factor that they could keep in mind as they plant their church. Now, that's pretty daunting, you know, when someone throws it. I don't know about you, does anyone ever ask you questions? You think, oh, like, that's actually a massive question and you want one sentence. And it was pretty daunting to me at the time. But the Holy Spirit just rose up in me and out of my mouth came, you will never do church better than you do family. And it was actually a moment. To the degree that you do family, to the way you do, it's in direct proportion. The way you do family is the way you're going to do church. The church family is so dear to the heart of God. The church, the family of God is God's design. And he designed us to go through the seasons of life together, the journey of life together as a family, not as an institution. Yeah? Oh, bless the Lord. Not as an organization, but a family. How many of you know that every family have a crazy uncle? How many of you know that there's, oh my Lord, when I think about my uncles. I mean, I would stand back sometimes and say, what is that? And, you know, we can even get that with our expression of worship. You know, things are happening all over the place and say, what is that? Oh, that's them. Bringing their expression. You know, I feel for so long, you know, the church has tried to just organize themselves out of the amazing facets and expressions that God has packed in every family. Amen, that we dress the same, our hair's the same, we express the same. But God says, I've created a multifaceted family in whom I enjoy. I actually enjoy crazy uncle's expressions. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Oh, bless the Lord. I went ahead of myself there. Thank you, Jesus. But family is God's design. It's not an organization, it's not an institution, it's a multifaceted family. A family, you know, multifaceted meaning many aspects and many features. Many aspects or features. Hallelujah. Do you ever think how can this possibly, these children be of the same family? How can this family have exactly the same parents but their children are so different? What is that? I mean, God created us to be Christ-like. We come out of the very womb of God when we were born again, and He created us to be Christ-like. But do you know God is multifaceted? Oh, hallelujah. And His word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and He needs every single person in the family to bring the expression of who He is to that family. Turn to someone and say, I need you. Because you show me a facet of God that I don't carry. Oh, bless the Lord. In a big family, you know, we've got 13 grandchildren. I look at them all and they are all so different. But they all bring a facet and an expression of who we are as a family. And, you know, I think it's time we really learnt to celebrate that even more than we do now. Amen? Because some parts of the family are just easier to get along than with others. Amen? But we need the freedom to be who we are and to bring the best us that we can to the table. I don't know whether you do that with your family, but we always, family, when we have our gatherings, everyone, we want everyone to bring their superstar dish. Because each one of us have a dish that we all want the recipe of, and no, I'm not giving them away yet. Yeah? But you know what I'm finding with the recipes that I have, and I'm going off here, but what I have, the girls will build on them, yeah, and they'll refine them. And that's what happens in family. We build on the foundation that's laid and we refine it. Oh, bless the Lord. There's a good word right there. Yeah, that wasn't in my notes. That's cool. There's lots that isn't in my notes. These are for my security blanket. Bless the Lord. Amen. As I said, each one of us fearfully and wonderfully made. We are not exactly the same, and praise God for that. Amen. But we are from the same family. A quote by Pope John Paul in Perth, he said this in 1986, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. Amen. What a statement. I believe God's so on that. Amen. As the family goes, so goes the nation. So goes the whole world. Can we not see that the family is under attack like never before? Amen. The family as God designed it is under attack like never before. Amen. But you know, I believe God wants to build the family. I believe through the church we can bring a demonstration of what God created family to be. And you know something? I believe we've got a world that are craving for family. Amen? They want family. They want authentic family. Amen? And I believe the church have got the most amazing opportunity now by the grace of God to reveal what family really looks like. Oh, glory. I'm excited about that. Anyone else? You can say yes. I mean, you can shout yes. That's a good idea. That's a God idea. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. We see in Nehemiah he'd been called to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. We see in verse 13 he says, therefore, he's talking Nehemiah, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall. You know, like I sense God on this so much. The builders are coming. And the builders are being awakened. You know, in Isaiah 49, we see God talks about the builders coming, and he's actually, in the Passion Translation, he calls the sons builders, and God's saying the builders are coming. And you know what they're going to be saying? This place isn't big enough. We need to expand. We need to extend. Amen. We need to make room for the orphans because they're coming in. Just by the way. Hey, they're coming. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I see the people according, and set the people according to their families with their swords, the word of the God, we won't go on with that, but their spears and their bows. And I looked and I arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Do not be afraid of what's going on. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, Remember the Lord, he is great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Hallelujah. The builders are coming. Turn to someone, say, the builders are coming. The builders are rising up. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just the family is the first and vital cell of society. It's the only way. It's a living image and historical representation of the mystery of Christ in the church. The future of the world and of the church, therefore, passes through the family. I said the future of the world and the church passes through the family. We cannot become an institution. We cannot become an organization. We need to do family very, very well, even better than we're doing it now. Oh, hallelujah. And what's coming to me as we begin to embrace the crazy uncles, we'll do well at that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family is God's design, and it was birthed out of his heart. He sent Jesus to rescue his family, to get his kids back. Bless the Lord. He sent a son to redeem the sons. I said he sent a son to redeem the sons, to buy them back, hallelujah, to pay the price with his blood, to buy them back. Go get them. Hallelujah. 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 In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loves the church, and then he brings instruction on how to do that, to nourish, to cherish, to care for her, as if she is his very own body. And what he was doing was expressing a natural example for us to follow, which speaks out of a spiritual reality, and that's the family of God. Amen. Husband loves your wife, wife, love your husband as Christ loves the church. It's good, it's real. But God's revealing in Ephesians 5 his love for his bride. Oh, hallelujah. How he cherishes his bride. How he cherishes his family. Because then we see instruction for the family. He's actually bringing a natural demonstration of a spiritual reality, which is the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know, I believe there's a grace being released right now to love like we've never loved, to embrace like we've never embraced, to forgive like we've never been able to forgive, with his ability to forgive, to love, to embrace, to walk with, to do life with like never before. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that? Someone say, I receive that. I receive that. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When we talk about the family, we're talking about something that prophetically speaks. When he talks about the family in Ephesians 5, he's actually speaking about something that prophetically speaks of the family of God. Heaven's always a mirror, always a mirror. Jesus taught the disciples, didn't he? He taught the disciples to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let us, the family, in the context of family today, let the family of God on earth be a mirror, image of the family of God in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. And you know something? God designed us to live in a loving family, but you can't have healthy relationships without having relatives. You can't develop healthy relationships without having relatives. And we have relatives in the family of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you can think you walk in peace until somebody actually pushes your button and you discover that you really, really need the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And if you discover that you really, really need the fruit of the Spirit to do healthy relationships with your relatives, amen, you need opportunities to develop it. Woo! Bless the Lord. You see, those people are around you to grow the grace of God that's on your life, to grow. We have grace growers in our life. And, you know, God actually wants to show and reveal to us through family what we are made of. Oh. And if nobody disturbs your peace, you will never, ever come into recognition of what you are made of. You are made of God. The fruit of the Spirit, the scripture in an amplified verse said, the fruit which His Spirit within you accomplishes is every fruit of the Spirit. And God says, I'm going to bring people alongside of you that are going to help you develop the grace, in grace towards one another. Amen. I mean, you can do real well on your own, but God never created you to live a solo life. He created a need in us for family. We need each other. Amen? Oh, come on. There's things I'm hesitating to go to, you know. I mean, you can't have a relationship with your computer, guys. You can't have a real relationship. You are not created to have relationships with social media. You need people in your lives. You know, I welcome our online family, but hey, we're here in flesh. Come, you know. Let us connect with you. Amen? Let us connect with you. You know, we need each other. Amen? And let's not look for a perfect place, because there's not one family on earth that is not dysfunctional in some area. Amen? Hallelujah. But we can help each other grow. Amen? God's design is for us to be a living, loving family, connecting relationally with one another, making allowances for one another because we love one another. You know, in a natural family, we make allowances for people. I said, we make allowances for our own. We've done the journey with them. We know what they're capable of, and we will know what they're not capable of. And yet then we bring the scripture, you know, Philippians 4:13, which I love. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that person that you can quote that over is on a journey. And where we feel that we're, you know, people will, you know, okay, this is a little bit difficult, but you know what? God's developing you more than He's developing them. He's doing a work in you. Did that hang together and make sense? Because I'm not sure whether I joined the dots then. But God has actually gifted us with one another. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 15. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic. The scripture says, for this reason, seeing the greatness... What reason? What reason? For this reason, seeing the greatness of His plan by which you are built together in Christ. He's building us together. By which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family, someone say family, in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives His name. It derives its name. So we're built together. He's given us everything to build with. He's given us each other to build with. He's building us together. He's building us together as a family. He's already sees us built. But what He wants is all the pieces, all the fragments to come and take their place of grace, so that we can function as a family and give glory to God. That we can begin to function as a family on a level that the world is unfamiliar with, so that glory is given to God, our Father. You notice he's not saying here, my Father, he's saying our Father, although although there is context for my Father. He wants us to have an intimate personal relationship with him, but he wants us to understand that he is our Father. Our Father. There's always a place for mine in our individual relationship, but we're created to be a part of a body. Bless the Lord. He says, he's saying here, every family finds its source in the Father. Every family finds its source in the Father. And we have the privilege of calling him our Father. Our Father. And because he's our Father, we know that we're all part of a family. We're all sons and daughters of the living God. He wants us looking for the Father in us, each other. He actually wants us looking for the facets. You know, it's so easy to see in family. You know, like I see my mother and my sister. At times there's just a glimpse of mum. There's a glimpse of my grandmother, you know. I'll see in my grandchildren glimpses of their mum and dad, yeah. I even see glimpses of myself, especially when they start rattling off scriptures over, you know. I see glimpses of myself. And that's what he wants us looking for. You know, I love it when people, I'm going to get down here just for a minute. But you know when we have the baby comes, the addition to the family. Oh, Lord, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And everybody's examining that child to find a likeness of themselves in the child. Oh, no, he's like his father. I can see his father. Something like that. No. I can see me. Oh, and I can see her. I can see. Oh. And we examine this child continually to try and find something of ourselves in there, in that child. Has anyone noticed that? Yeah? Tim wins. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us like with each other. Find the Father in them. Find me in them. Look for me in them. You'll find me. You'll find me, and when you honor the facet of me that you find in them, you will activate it in them. Oh, come on. Because honor activates and you participate of the goal that God has placed on the inside of every one of us. Come on. Amen. Someone say, that's good preaching. I know it is. I can sense him. I know he's speaking this morning. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Someone say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah. Oh, separated unto my glory. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone's really glad when I get back up here, especially the cameraman. Try and chase me around the place. Hallelujah. You know, I'm living with a hope on the inside of me, this expectation that God's placed on the inside of me of establishing heaven's relational government on earth through family. I believe it's an expectation that he's placed on the inside of us. Because I believe the issues that are facing our nation today all come from an orphan spirit, a sense of not feeling like one belongs. Well, I just don't belong. I'm a misfit. No, you're part of the completion. Yeah. Amen? You're bringing something different. I feel different. Well, you are different. And we celebrate differences. Amen? Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalm 68. Verse 5, it says, a father of the fatherless. Who is he? He's a father of the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Who are the rebellious? Well, us four and no more. I'm going to find someone who's just like me. There's no change. There's no growth. Yeah? There's no expression of what you're carrying in God by finding people that are just, I'm going to go somewhere where I feel everyone's just like me. God's saying embrace the differences. God is looking for widows. He wants to be, and the fatherless, he's looking for them. He wants to place them into families. He's purposeful. He wants to bind us together. He wants our relationships to prosper. He wants those that are bound to prosper in relationships. That's why the scripture says, planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of your God. Because it's not only the Lord that's in the house, he inhabits the praises of his people. We're co-laboring with him as he's working in us and through us. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And bringing his will to pass in our lives. He's purposeful. God says he puts the solitary in families. He doesn't say he places them in a church meeting. He's not. He's saying he places them in families. Okay, we meet, we gather together. That's part of the expression of who we are. But he says, I'm looking for the solitary. I'm looking for the widows, those without people group, those without families. I want to place them in a family. Amen. Bless the Lord. Not a church meeting. He places them in relationships. Church is where we meet, where the family of God connect. We're walking together through the various seasons of our life. We see in Romans 12:15, don't have to turn there, but it says here, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's okay to weep. We had an amazing, one of our old songs there, it was fantastic this morning. God breathed on it, you know. And rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. We rejoice together. But you know what? We need to be able to weep together too. That we don't go and find some solitary place on our own, which we need to if we're going with God. There's always that. But in the context of family, run to the family. You know, I'm blessed that Hermione and her family are here today so that we can gather around her and pray for her and walk through this with her. And not turn up one day and say, how's Albert? Well, she'd be saying he's doing really well right now. Thank God he's with Jesus. Like, thank God I know where he is. But bottom line is we need to journey together. And the only way we can do that is by being present. Turn to someone and say, I'm glad you're present. Amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. As the church functions, as God planned us to function, we will have increase, the increase of adoptions into the family. Amen? I mean, if you were God, would you like to introduce people to a dysfunctional family? I don't think so. The harvest is ripe, but the family need to be able to know how to function. Amen? So that people are no longer brought into dysfunctional situations, but they're brought into a healthy family that he can trust is going to nurture them and to grow them and to gather around them. Amen? And to bless them and care for them and make allowances for them. Yeah? We're all battling things at any given time, you know, as a family. Family know when a relative is struggling and they don't put unrealistic expectations on one another. Well, they've been around for a long time. You don't know their history. You don't know what happened. You don't know what the phone call was like before they walked in. Amen? They don't put unrealistic expectations on one another. Thank you, Father. What stress, what they've been going through, the stress in their lives. Well, they need to learn to cast the care. Oh, yes, amen. Yes, they do. Can we nourish them and guide them and walk with them in that journey? Someone say, I'm filled with the peace of God. Amen. Amen. We don't know what they're struggling with in their relationships. We need to declare, I have healthy relationships. Why don't you do that? I have healthy relationships. You know, some people come in and they're feeling quite hopeless. Yeah? A hope deferred makes the heart sick. Someone declare, I'm a hope-filled believer. We want to fill them full of hope. Amen. That's why a huge part of our SOZO ministry is healing ministry is based on family. Why? Because heaven's government is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as I said earlier, the family in heaven are functioning very, very well. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, getting through here. How's my time? Good. In Romans 12, verse 4, for as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, members, and all these parts do not have the same functional use, so we, numerous as we are one body. Christ the Messiah, and individually, in Christ the Messiah, and individually we are parts one of another, mutually dependent on one another. Don't you love that? We are mutually dependent on one another. We need to be. Amen? As a matter of fact, I am dependent on you becoming your best you. Amen? Turn to someone, say, I need you to become your best you. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It reminds me of the qualities that were in Jonathan regarding David. David was an amazing leader, as we know, but we remember that he was tremendously close to a friend called Jonathan. They were best friends. Amen. And Jonathan, you would remember, is Saul's son. Yeah? And he was heir to the throne. Yeah, he was next in line to the throne. But they were such good friends. I mean, they were like family. They were bound together. They trusted one another. And Jonathan recognized that David was carrying the anointing for the job. David was carrying the anointing for the task to be the next king. Though he was the heir of the king, though he was set up to be that, he recognized something in David and he supported his friend to become what God had appointed him to be. Hallelujah. What for? For the sake of that kingdom, for the sake of the people of God, for the sake of David, who had an amazing anointing and calling upon his life. I love that. So he championed David on. He championed him on because he knew that it was his role. Amen. Legally, in our terms, it may have belonged to Jonathan, but he recognized that that call, that anointing to be the king of Israel was upon David, and he submitted to the grace that was upon David's life. That's family. We are mutually dependent on one another. Amen? It's an amazing display of friendship, support, and it really does illustrate what family is. Because when one of us are thriving in the grace upon our lives, all of us are thriving. Amen? It's such a big subject. But there's facets of the nature of God that can only be experienced through relationships. Right? And he wanted to experience the kingship of David. He knew that he was set up for it. Amen? He saw it. I love that. I love that he recognized it. Moreover and above, he wasn't trying to find what was on him. You know what? You don't have to try and find what's on you. It'll be called out. It just gets called out. It just becomes evident. And others begin to recognize it and call out what's on your life. Because while you're serving someone else's grace or you're championing others on, your grace becomes evident. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You raise champions. Your heart is to raise champions. Oh, bless the Lord. My heart is to raise sons and daughters. People look at your sons and daughters around you. Yeah, but that's my heart to raise them. Jonathan's heart was to see David excel in what God had called him to do. I just think there's just such a beautiful, it's just such a beautiful example. He's saying David is carrying what my nation needs. Amen. His goal had become secondary to David's. Turn to someone and say, that's God. You know, when you see that happening in a person's life, you experience something that mere knowledge doesn't help you with. Hey? You bring an experience of what the kingdom, what the family of God looks like. Amen? We see the exact opposite happening with Saul, remember? We go to 1 Samuel 18. So the women sang, and as they danced and said, Saul has slain thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul became angry because his son was being celebrated because he'd slain more than he had, the father had, you see? Oh, Lord, this is so bad. They ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can they have but the kingdom? So Saul's eyed David from that day forward. You know, fathers that are champion their sons that are champion their fathers. David was trying to stand on the shoulders of Saul. He wasn't trying to stand on his head, but he was standing on the shoulders of Saul, and he was honouring Saul. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He wanted to honour Saul. He wanted to be championed on by Saul, but became Saul's greatest enemy because Saul wanted to do him in. Why? Because he was looking like a greater champion than he was. You know, but family want to see sons and daughters excel well way beyond their capacity. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Way beyond what they're built. You know, I remember Kara saying once, you know, if your vision is only for your lifetime, it's not big enough. Amen. There's things that I have seen that I know, you know, like the vision will outlive me. My job is to build a strong foundation for others to build on, but stand on my shoulders. Don't stand on my head, because legacy comes when you stand on shoulders. If you stand on shoulders, you partake of the legacy. If you stand on the head, you stand on your own head. Oh, come on, that's worth a hallelujah, praise the Lord. Give me a revelation. You don't partake of legacy unless you honour it. I said, you don't partake of legacy. You don't. That David honoured Saul's legacy. That's why he slew more. And he always honoured it, regardless of any persecution, regardless of the fact that Saul wanted to kill him, he honoured Saul. Amen? He honoured Saul when Saul didn't do it right. Why? Because he was the king and he honoured who God had anointed. Though Saul was the people's choice, but David was God's choice. He found, oh, hallelujah, he found a man that was after his own heart. And that's what God's looking for. Went off a bit there, but you know what? I'm allowed to. The son's victory was the father's victory. The father's victory is the son's victory. Amen? And honour will release it. Jesus couldn't do anything in his own hometown because of familiarity. Families we can get very familiar with, and we cannot spot the gold. Oh, that's just, you know, the brother of James and, you know, like, no. Amen. They didn't partake of his greatness. They didn't partake of what he could bring because of a lack of honour. Honour releases it. Amen. What was happening was Jonathan was looking for the anointing. Where to look for the anointing? Where to have our ear tuned in to where the anointing is? Where is the anointing on your life? Where can I see a grace on your life? That's what I'm looking for. Amen? So that I can celebrate the grace that's upon your life. So that you can achieve your personal best in God. So that you can step right into that grace, and it can be such an ease it stops being hard, because there's no spirit of competitive jealousy operating in the family of God. Amen? I'm bigger than that. I'm greater than that. Hallelujah. No. Amen? These are graces and gifts that are given by God that we are to celebrate in one another. That we all begin to be like a well-oiled machine functioning in the graces and the places that God has called us to function in. Our ear tuned to the anointing. That's what we want to get better and better at. Where's the grace? Where is it? Where's the gift on your life? I want to champion it. Turn to someone and say, I want to champion you. Amen? It's like the worship team. You know, I've learned over the years, and you learn stuff when you're in ministry for a long time. Long time. You learn things. Amen? I say to the worship team, you know, like I say to the guys, listen for the sound. Just hear it. It'll be a chord. It'll be, you know, like you hear something. You just hear a sound. I'm not there to lead my song. I'm not there to lead. They're not there to lead their song that they have chosen and put on the list. They're there to hear the sound. And the sound will come. And it might be, you'll hear a sound on that Samuel will make. They'll just be, I just hear it. I just hear it. There it is. There's the anointing. There it is. It might be a certain beat. Just beat for me. Just beat for me. Come on. Just boom, 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 boom. Just do it. Joel. It might be just that sound. Oh, shaka, raveste. God's on that. It might be a chord. It might be a sound that's released in a word. In the tone of a voice. That's him. That's him. I can hear him. I can hear him. So I go up and you all would see me sometimes. Come on. Come on. Come on. Because I'm not here worship leading one. I'm going, come on. Come on. Bring it up. Bring it up. Bring it up. I can hear him. Come on. Play. Why? Because we're after the anointing. We're after seeing him glorified. Amen? We're not after having our turn. We want to flow as one symphony to him. Make a symphony to him. Amen? We want to get good at it. Amen? Really, really good at it. Really good at it. Amen? The family. Learning how to celebrate each other. Amen? Because the anointing's corporate. It's corporate. We all bring our portion. And as we celebrate each other, we're going to be released and activated to bring our portion. In Jesus' name, won't you stand up? Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.